Good morning and happy Sunday. Welcome to On the Weekend Edition. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and again today, I'll be with you for another hour from 9 to 10, like I am every Sunday morning. And as always, I'm very thankful that you're here to share that hour with me. Listen, with the holidays upon us, Christmas is a week away, I'm going to replay an interview that I did with a friend of mine, Dr. Yolanda Lewis-Ragland, who is a double board certified best-selling author on health and wellness, in particular in the Black community. She's going to spend a little bit of time telling us how to keep from overeating, some of the tricks that she employs on herself to keep herself from doing that. So I want you guys to pay close attention because she's going to drop some knowledge that is definitely going to help you. I got a lot of requests to replay this interview, and now I think it's a perfect time to do it with the holidays upon us and all of the eating that we're going to do in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Also in the show today, of course, you're going to hear from the Petty. He's going to come on today and give us his picks for today, tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday night as the NFL playoff picture becomes more clear to us. Now, if you've been paying attention to the Petty and you've bet based on what you've heard, you've made some money because he's been incredibly accurate the last few weeks. So we're going to hear from him. But first, we're going to do what I like to do most, and that is give you current events and news from the past week and my little spin on each story. So I hope you're feeling great because I'm feeling great. I've got lots of news to talk about. So let's get right to it. So have you ever taken a test as a kid? And in your mind, you were confident that you did well on the test, even went so far as to tell your parents when they asked you when you got home how you did. You told them, hey, I know I did well on this test, only to get the test results back later and realize that you failed, that you weren't paying close enough attention to those multiple choice questions, that somehow during the process of you taking this test, your confidence became arrogance and you just didn't pay close enough attention and it failed you. Well, earlier this week, Baltimore City Mayor Brandon Scott was asked to grade himself on how he's done as the mayor of the city in reducing crime. And this is what he said.
I would rate myself at a B-minus.
Now, I'm not sure what method of grading the mayor uses to get him to a B or a B-minus. But as it pertains to homicides in this city, he has failed miserably on violent crime and homicides based on what he said his goals were as a mayoral candidate trying to get into office back in 2020. This is what he said at that time.
I will aim to reduce homicides by 15% each year of my term, getting us below 300 homicides in my first year.
Now, I can imagine that there is a huge difference between wanting to do something as a mayoral candidate, seeing a problem in your city, and wanting to fix it. I get it. I applaud anyone that sees a problem in this city and says, I can fix it, and then has the courage and the energy and the confidence to run for office to fix it. Because there are a slew of Baltimoreans who have seen the same problem year after year who did not run for office to do anything about it. He did. So on that, I applaud him. But the problem that I have with Brandon Scott, and this is over and over and over again, is that he keeps telling us something different from what we actually see. We know that since he's been in office, the numbers as far as homicides go each year have increased. We know this. It is a fact. Stop telling us that you've gotten a B or a B minus when in fact you're getting an F. You have not achieved your goal. He did the exact same thing with the Squeegee Kids issue, and he has done the exact same thing with Sonia Santelices and the Baltimore City Public School grading scandal. This is not an easy city to govern. Everyone knows that. The mayor just needs to be honest about what's going on and his role in fixing it, because what's happening is he's losing credibility and people are moving out of the city in droves. In that same interview in which he rated himself a B or a B minus, he touted his success in getting 13% more guns off the street in 2022 than the year before. But here's the shell game of his comment. If there's 17% more guns on the street in 2022 than there were in 2021, well, then you have a 4% increase in the amount of guns that are now on the street than you did in 2021. There is no progress to brag about. And these are the kinds of things that he does with words that does not help the situation in this city. As it stands right now, there have been close to 700 people in this city that have been shot and survived. And there have been 318 homicides as of just Thursday afternoon, which is more at this point than there was in 2021. We have seen 634 carjackings, which is up 19.8% than last year. And commercial robberies are up 117%. In 2020, the year that Brandon Scott was elected mayor, we recorded 335 deaths, homicides, 335 homicides. in this city. Now, that was a COVID year. There weren't even a whole lot of people walking the street. And 2021, just last year, it got up to 337. Right now, we're on pace for 341. So when your homicide rate is increasing every year that you've been in office, how do you give yourself a B or a B minus in reducing violent crime? Besides all of the young people that are being killed in this city, the sadder part for me is that people, families, are actually leaving this city in droves simply because they don't feel safe in this city anymore. Listen to this. This is resident CeCe Conyers in an interview with Fox 45, who says that she not only gives the mayor an F, not a B or a B minus, but an F, but that she's also taking her family and she's moving out of town.
The crime is outrageous. I'm moving out of Baltimore City because the mayor, the police officer, the commissioner is not doing anything to help us.
And when Ms. Conyers was asked what grade she would give the mayor for his performance as mayor of the city and keeping the city safe, she said,
he gets an F for me because he's not doing anything for the city.
So Mayor Scott, we all understand that Baltimore has not been the easiest city to be the mayor of. We get it. We understand. We understand that you want the best for the city, or at least we believe that you do. But the numbers represent failure. So please do not give yourself a B or a B minus. When you have residents leaving the city, fleeing the city because they don't feel safe, and you have constituents telling you, you get an F because we don't feel safe. All right, also in the news this week, something very important happened in North Carolina. And I keep telling people, you know, you got to vote. You got to be active in the voting process because it's important that our voices are heard. Well, in North Carolina, the Supreme Court on Friday knocked down a 2018 voter identification law that it said discriminated against black voters and ordered a state Senate map to be redrawn due to Republican partisan gerrymandering. The North Carolina Supreme Court upheld that decision based on a lower court's 2021 ruling that a 2018 law requiring voters to present photo ID was unconstitutional. The majority opinion said that the lower court correctly found that the law was motivated by racially discriminatory purposes. Unfortunately, Republican-led legislatures in several other states have passed similar voter ID laws in recent years, arguing that they are needed to prevent voter fraud. But critics, including Democrats and voting rights advocates, say the laws are likely to suppress votes from African Americans, who are both more likely to vote Democratic and who lack the needed identity cards. So some might say, what is redistricting and why is it so important? Well, it's important because it's the process of drawing the lines of districts from which public officials are elected. Once you manipulate those lines, then you can take away the power of diversity that a free democracy is supposed to have. It's supposed to be used by legislators to equitably allocate representation in Congress and state legislatures. When politicians use redistricting to manipulate the outcome of elections, however, it's called gerrymandering, a practice that undermines democracy and stifles the voice of voters. And it's being done all over the country, particularly in the South and in the Midwest. Redistricting laws and voter ID laws are the killer of black votes. And we are not making enough noise about it. This has been going on in North Carolina for 3 months and has been silent. No one has said a word about it. It was finally ruled on Thursday, and thank goodness justice prevailed. But in many other states, like I said, in particular the South and the Midwest, these kinds of voter suppression and manipulation tactics are attempted every single year because they know we are not paying attention. We have to do a better job because, like I said in November, the world is starting to spin backwards, and black people in particular, we just can't afford to be on that ride. All right, so what I want to do now is shift gears into the holiday mood, the holiday spirit, feast, feast, feast. I'm going to eat. Most of us are going to overeat during the holidays, and it's okay. And then come January 1, we'll make a resolution to lose weight and to get on a good diet. That'll usually fall off by January 10. Well, today I'm going to replay an interview that I did months ago with a friend of mine, Dr. Yolanda Lewis-Ragland, who is a double board certified physician and a best-selling author on health, diet, and fitness. And I'm telling you, the jewels that she dropped in this interview, the knowledge that she gave me in this interview, I promise you, I put into practice, and I, your boy, has lost weight. So I want to replay it for you guys because it's important that during the holidays we know how to manage ourselves when we're at the table, when to push away and get up and walk away, or when to come back, what to eat, what not to eat. And that's very helpful and important because if you know what to do going into the holidays before you sit down at the table, then it's a lot easier when you come out of the holidays and you're about to hit the gym. So, without further ado, let me replay this interview and introduce you to Dr. Yolanda Lewis-Ragland. Dr. Lewis-Ragland, thank you so much for coming on and being a part of our show today. As I mentioned earlier to my listeners, you are a double board certified physician, a pediatrician by trade, and a gifted one. What is it that you saw early in your career in the Black community that made you shift gears, kind of, and dedicate so much time to weight management?
So first of all, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I appreciate the question and the conversation. And I do think there are a lot of nuances to what you're, hinting to or referring to as sort of this, the dichotomy of where our priorities lie. And so I would love to get into that. But my name is, again, Dr. Yolanda Lewis-Ragland. I'm a double board certified physician in both pediatrics and obesity medicine. Generally, I say pediatrician and bariatrician, but most people don't understand that bariatrics is just the medical management of weight loss. It's not, the surgical side of it. And I am, besides a community physician working at Children's National Hospital in general peds and obesity for children, I'm also the owner and CEO of my own practice, Family Fitness and Community Wellness. Okay. And the reason I started really getting into obesity medicine really started off as a pediatrician. I was seeing patients on a, daily basis, monthly, yearly. And I just watched as the kids that I was seeing were getting bigger and bigger. And I don't mean taller, which is what we expect as a pediatrician. That comes with the job. But what I noticed is they were getting bigger, larger, they were outpacing, their weight was outpacing their height growth.
Right, right.
And so they were becoming obese, because the whole idea and concept of obesity is, BMI is how much weight you are carrying on your frame. So your frame itself is going to be a fixed number, how tall you are, but how much weight you gain is obviously not fixed. And you can gain more or lose more. So these kids were becoming bigger and bigger. And I was starting to battle obesity, and along with obesity, a lot of the medical conditions like diabetes, hypertension, fatty liver disease, asthma is worse when you're obese. And so I thought, this is really, depressing. What do I do about it? And I began to recognize that in order for me to really make a difference, I was going to have to also be able to treat the parent, which meant I needed to do adult obesity medicine.
Okay.
And then as a woman, what I recognized is, as medical director at a very popular weight loss clinic, that was owned by a male physician, and a lot of the treatments and a lot of the recommendations were not based around diet. It was really based around exercise and sort of these really quick fixes.
Right.
And what I noticed is that women were not responding to the treatments as well as the men who would come in. And I know, and I knew personally, it was because we have to really understand the basis for what is happening with us in terms of weight gain, as well as in a large part, our metabolism and our hormones are actually come into play. So what was not being addressed for women was actually detrimental. They weren't really getting the results that they deserved to get. And so I began to have to, I was struggling with this particular owner of the facility, because he didn't want to change what was being done. He didn't want to really address the root causes for women. And so we had to, we split ways, but I kind of, from there, just turned this into my own practice, and a lot of it is concierge, but I do a lot on nutrition, supplements, metabolism, balancing hormones. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with stress and stress management. So a lot of what we're talking about really is an area that we don't address in weight gain and weight loss, and that is how we're managing stress. And the truth of the fact is, with Black women, we really do carry a lot more stress for a lot of different varying reasons, and we don't address it, and we don't recognize that by not addressing it, it really is hindering us from losing weight or maintaining our weight.
And that's one of the questions that I had for you. And that was, what was one of the main factors, or some of the main factors, that you see in most Black women that keep them from, you know, balancing their nutrition or having a healthy diet? And you say it's a lot of it is stress related.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, heart disease, you know, there's so much to this. This conversation could probably go on a lot longer than 30 minutes, but I'll try to keep it brief. So when we talk about these cycles that we run in, this fight or flight, and we're producing certain hormones because, first of all, our hormones are changing just because our age, you know, as we increase in age. So certain hormones are decreasing, you know, we talk about estrogen and progesterone, and I don't want to get really specific, but our hormones are changing rapidly. And it starts around age 35 that we start. So a lot of women notice that they were able to eat a certain way and do certain things and sort of quick fixes, and it worked for them up until a certain age. And then they start realizing that after 30, after 35, maybe after 40. In fact, when I first started my practice, I have a blog, and my blog is, it's called Body.40, and it was because right around 40 is when I noticed that women started to struggle the most, and it really has to do with the difference in your hormones. Right. But on top of those hormones that are changing just because of age, a lot of our stresses come age-related as well, with motherhood, you know, working certain jobs, two jobs, three jobs, being a CEO, being a boss. You know, a lot of these women you're talking about, they're running the show. They're running everything for everybody. And honestly, a lot of the pressure is on them. And it's not just on them to perform. It's also on them to look good while they perform.
Right.
It's an added
right.
pressure that we
it's
put
a lot.
On ourselves.
It's a lot.
And this cortisol that we're constantly pushing out and producing because we are so stressed because, you know, we got to work harder, we got to be better, we got to do it faster, all of these things that we put on ourselves. And it's not just self-imposed, the society imposes it on us as well. But we're carrying so much of these loads, even professionally, that it's actually wreaking havoc in our internal systems. And so it's affecting our heart, it's affecting our liver. So when it's affecting your liver, you're not digesting or processing fats the way you should if you were actually doing it in a healthy way. So we have a lot of sludge in our liver, and we're not able to process certain Wow. foods and certain fats. The hormones are also affecting how we digest our foods. There are three areas that are affected specifically. It's the brain, it's the stomach, and it's the liver. So we're not digesting our food very well. And so actually that's causing and prolonging obesity. We're not processing fats very well. It's also producing and prolonging obesity. And then when I talk about the brain, we actually have certain hormones that tell us we're hungry versus satisfied, and they're triggered by fight or flight. So someone who's in fight mode is not able to really digest their food. They're not supposed to, you know, that,
right.
So, you know, historically, when you're in fight mode, you should be running and getting out of there, but that's not what's happening. We're fighting all the time. And I say fighting, it's a metaphorical fight, but we're, you know, fighting against, you know, the clock at work. There's this project that's due. You know, we got children that we're managing, and many women are single moms. And I'm not saying all Black women are single moms. I'm saying many women, and it's not just Black women, many women are single moms or head of their household or making the money in their households, and they're carrying the weight. There's just a lot happening. So we got professional, we got personal, and then we have societal, that a lot of the pressures and things that we're facing. And so you're constantly in this fight, and you're still eating. You're still sitting down at that desk trying to get through this particular project. So you're doing all the wrong things. You're drinking coffee. You're grabbing a donut because you don't have time. You're grabbing fast food because you don't have time. You're on your way home. You got to do X, Y, and Z. So you're grabbing fast food to take to even your family because you don't have time. We're constantly Right. fighting the clock. This is really where most of the problems are. when we talk about how we're not processing our foods and how we're gaining weight and unable to actually break down fats and lose weight. And so a lot of times we want to look at where people are putting their attention on you know, what they're buying and how they look in their cars or driving. But at the same time, the stresses that that you have to maintain all of those things are really affecting how you process just your daily meal.
Well, that's the question that I have. And that's the question that I have. How do we shift the mindset? I mean, I know you do a lot of speaking. You do seminars and workshops and you've written books. But how do you shift the mindset so that it's, and granted, education is incredibly important, and Black women have done an amazing job in raising the bar as far as the education level within that community and within our community. But it sounds like they're sacrificing so much of their health to get to that point. So how do we shift the mindset so there's a balance? Now, I see a lot of boot camps that have started, and I see a lot of Black women in the gym that didn't used to be there, but I rarely hear about nutrition. I hear about the fasting, and I hear about the working out. And like you said, those are quick fixes, but I rarely hear about nutritional values like balanced diets and how to eat on the run. I mean, how do you shift that mindset?
Well, first of all, I think we're slowly shifting the mindset in just this self-care. I guess we're calling it, I don't know what it is. I guess it's a new phenomena. It's a new, you know, we're sort of bringing it in and recognizing how important it is, because for a long time it wasn't. You talk about you use the word sacrifice, and that's a very appropriate word. Often we just do. And it's almost biological. I've had this conversation on several levels. Men and women are very different biologically. I'm not here to talk about gender or, you know, who's binary and non-binary, and, you know, that's one thing. But in society, our roles have been traditionally very different, wherein, and biologically, when we conceive, the moment of conception, there's this natural process of we go into this protection mode, right? We're growing a fetus. Our body physiologically changes to protect this and grow this fetus and blah, blah, blah. And so you have this baby, and then you feel very obligated and naturally so to make sure this baby is taken care of and grows and does it. You're feeding it from your body, and, you know, if you're breastfeeding and things like that. So this is this natural connection, this natural process, this natural need and feel of like obligatory, you know, doing for this child. Mm-hmm. But it really goes further than that. A lot of times women just sacrifice themselves, whether they mean to or not. Men are very easily, you know, siloed. It's very easy to take this project and do this for my family and do this for my job. And they're not really interconnected. There's a book I love, you know, about men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And it talks about this whole idea that spaghetti and meatballs, like we women connect everything almost to the detriment of ourselves. And men are literally like, what? This one thing is not connected to another. And you'll understand when you hear us argue about something.
Right,
how
right.
We think everything is connected.
Right.
And men are like, no, those are separate things. So it's very easy for men often to see their health, themselves separately, right? Like, I got to take care of my health. I got to take care of my family. And I have to take care of my job and my business. But those are separate things. Women tend not to do that. And so the mind shift is about really understanding that you're a separate person. It's very difficult to recognize that because of that whole, you know, like I said, the umbilical cord, the placenta. We feel connected to everything, and we're very, you know, and we're not over emotional. I'm not saying that, but we're very intuitive and all these things. But we have to start recognizing where self ends and where self begins, and where our obligation to ourselves is as important, if not more important, than our obligations to our families and to our businesses and to our communities. I use the metaphor all the time of getting on a plane, and the pilot says, look, if something happens and oxygen masks go down, put yours on first and then put others on. And our natural idea as women would be to take care of everybody while we're trying to get oxygen on our own. But, you know, let's make sure everyone else is taken care of. And the answer is no. You cannot help everybody else if you don't help yourself. So
right now the
shift is self-care, understanding that if you are not well, if you fall ill tomorrow, no one's going to be able to take care of your family the way you do anyway. So you need to step back and decide what's the most important. Another thing that's really, that I've decided was very important to me a long time ago, I think I was in my 30s when I decided this, was that for my daughters to see themselves as important and to understand their value, they needed to see a mom who modeled self-care, who modeled and prioritized exercise, who modeled and prioritized nutrition, so that they realized how important it was for them. So it wasn't about me prioritizing their nutrition only. I was very clear that there are things that I might buy that they could eat because they were young. But if I bought certain things that were foods for me, I was very clear about that. Look, this is mommy's and this is yours. A lot of times we don't say, this is who I am. I need to get this exercise in. I'm going to be gone. I used to do Bikram yoga, hot yoga. It was a 90-minute yoga class.
Right.
And when I first started, it was very difficult because in that 90 minutes, I thought of all the stuff I should be doing as a mom, you know, they might be calling me at the hospital. And I had to learn how to take that 90 minutes to myself a day. Now I could take 2 or 3 hours a day for myself doing whatever. I meditate, I exercise, you know, I'm doing the things that are for me, but it's very difficult to do. That's also privilege. Let's be clear.
Right.
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 Everybody doesn't have the privilege to take that kind of time out for themselves. And so that's where a lot of the disparities come in.
When yeah, because you, are, you walk mm-hmm. like 1,000 miles a week too, don't you? I mean, you do a lot of walking, don't you?
I wouldn't say 1,000, but I have walked upwards of 500 miles in a month. And that was a challenge for myself. But for me, it's 5 to 10 miles a day, no matter what I'm doing, whether I jump on a Peloton, whether I jump on a treadmill, whether I go out on my own, like outside, depending on the weather. But again, I recognize that as privilege. But
right.
What I will tell people is you have to take the privilege. Don't allow your circumstances, your job, your family, any other thing to encroach on that privilege. Because everyone has the privilege. The question is, do you take the privilege, right? Because if you're not here tomorrow, what will it matter? If your health is that Steve Jobs would have given every cent he had.
Right.
If he figured out a way to stay healthy.
Correct.
And so if we do more prevention than reaction, because medicine, unfortunately, is very reactive, which is why I got into integrative medicine. I told you about the meditation,
right,
and nutrition and all that stuff. It's integrative medicine because I'm more interested in preventive measures. So nutrition, for instance, we say medicine, you know, and there's an old saying that medicine was, food is the first medicine. And it's true. There are lots of herbs and lots of foods that we can actually take and use to improve health. Let's say you are someone who has glucose issues like diabetes. People don't recognize or know that cinnamon lowers your resistance to insulin. It actually helps you in your if you're someone who needs to deal with diabetes and things like that, cinnamon's very helpful.
Okay.
Cayenne pepper. It helps increase your metabolism. So if you're dealing with a sluggish metabolism, you know, there are certain foods and certain things that you should add to your food that would help increase your metabolism. Turmeric, it helps decrease inflammation. A lot of us have inflammation. Even the vessels in our stomach are inflamed. Sugar is inflammatory. Let me say that part again. We are eating so much sugar and it's to our detriment. Sugar is inflammatory. And when it inflames even the vessels of the stomach, it makes it difficult for you to digest food.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this loud and clear. All of those folks out there that are taking their vitamins through gummies, the gummies are filled with a lot of sugar. So you're really defeating the process, not absorbing the very nutrients, the vitamin A or C or D, whatever it is you think you're absorbing. It makes it more difficult to absorb because you're taking it with sugar.
So no gummies.
I don't recommend gummies. I don't
okay.
want no gummy companies coming after me, but I don't,
okay. All right.
recommend gummies. But there's just a lot of ways, right? Water itself. I mean, let's start with just water. Water itself is one of the ways it helps satiate you, meaning it makes you feel full. A lot of studies have been done that show that a lot of people think they're hungry when they're really thirsty.
Okay.
And we are thirsty even at a cellular level. One of the reasons I've gotten into IV hydration drips is because many people don't recognize how dehydrated they are. And the more you're the more dehydrated you are, the more your body craves and wants the fluids. But we often, any craving we have, we assume it's a food craving. And the most convenient food that we have at our disposal, most of us, are sugar or some kind of a processed carb. So we'll just grab, you know, a bar, a cookie, whatever, I don't know.
Right.
Whatever, donut, I don't know, bagel. We'll grab these things and we don't realize that they're actually causing inflammation in our bodies. And we're actually not as hungry as we are thirsty. So if you would just start with adding a gallon of water, if you're not fluid restricted, I don't want anybody walking around saying, well, Dr. Yolanda said, I'm supposed to drink a gallon of water. Make sure you're talking to your doctor, because if you have any fluid restrictions, then that's not for you. But okay, for the most part, a healthy adult, if you're drinking a gallon of water a day, you're actually just starting right there with flushing your system, detoxifying your system, especially if you make that water alkaline water. And then you should begin to have less cravings, less foods that you're eating that are actually not good for you. Increasing your protein, very important. Eating mostly vegetables. You can eat some fruits, but looking at taking processed foods out of your diet. There's so many steps. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote the book that I wrote, which is Dr. Yolanda's Soul Food Therapy, is soul stands for a savory organic unprocessed living foods. I wrote that book to give very specific instructions about how to eat. And the actual table of contents spells out the word discipline, because it really boils down to discipline.
And what's the name of the book again? I'm sorry.
It's Dr. Yolanda's Soul Food Therapy.
Is that on Amazon or where?
Yeah, it's okay. On Amazon. It's on Amazon. Again, my blog is body.pro.com. So if anybody, I change it from 40 to pro. So body.pro.com, you can do my blog and I can get it to you, or just Amazon is easy. There's several books on Amazon. So that's one that's nutrition, because I have some others that aren't nutrition that are about the pandemic. But point of the book was really to be very specific about, a lot of times people say, oh, just eat less, or just eat more of this, or eat less of this, or add this to your diet, but they're not being specific. And so people really need very specific things. So I talk about how much protein, you know, how much water, how to eliminate or decrease the sugar in your diet, vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. We have cravings. Our bodies have cravings. We think it's sugar. We always assume
or salt.
Or salt. Yep,
you know,
yep, or salt.
I mean, I've eliminated most salt from my diet. But I got to ask you, what do you think of protein bars? Because they're all over the place, and people are supplementing food with protein bars on the go. Are there specific protein bars that you recommend, or those that you don't? Because you just said, you know, we want to add protein to our diet. Are they a fake? Is it legit?
So they're very. This is such a controversial industry, is the vitamin industry, because they're not all vitamins are not created equal. Some things have more bioavailability. Like some vitamins and things that you're taking and eating, even with these supplements and these protein bars, it'll say like plant protein or animal protein,
right?
Versus, right? So if you're vegan, you realize that you have to do that, but you need more of it than you do animal protein, because we process it differently. So what I can't say is there's one I endorse, but I will say this: looking for protein bars that are very low in added sugar. When I say high in protein, I mean 20 grams or more, generally 25 to 30 grams. If you're supplementing it for a meal, it needs to be at least 25 to 30 grams
okay.
of protein if you're doing it as a meal.
Okay.
You want as little sugar as possible. Mm-hmm. And then you really got to start looking. The problem is a lot of this stuff becomes really processed. So if you can't pronounce half of the words that they're, you know, putting in the ingredients, then it's probably not going to be best for you. Yeah, you know, that's just a general rule. And then, you know, there are some preservatives and things that are actually bad for you. And so some of these companies are using those preservatives that are actually not great for you, right? Some of the colors and dyes that are not great for you. So it makes it a very difficult, and the FDA does not really regulate this space very well. So, you know, you could, it's just a, not an easy topic,
right?
But protein bars can be used very efficiently as a means for substituting for a meal. But a small meal isn't that difficult to have, right? The problem is, what is your concept? What is your definition of a meal? Everyone, you know, I ask these questions, and I've seen thousands and thousands of patients. So I ask the question often, and I usually get, you know, a meat, a vegetable, and a starch. That's actually not the definition of a meal. Traditionally, culturally, that's what we've come to know as a meal.
Right.
But it's really a protein, a fat, and a sugar. That's a meal. That's what consists of an actual food that's a meal, that has a, that's not just a snack. Because if you're only eating sugar, it's a snack. If you're only eating, you know, so if you add the three, it's a meal. But what can that be? Typical for me, for instance, if I'm doing a quick small meal, you can cut an avocado in half, take the pit out, use the avocado. It's, and this is convenient and quick. Use the avocado itself as your bowl, and you can put like scramble some eggs with some vegetables and put that in there. You have your protein, you have your fat, and you have your vegetables right there. Or sometimes I'll do an avocado, and I might put some tuna in there. I might cut open a cucumber, right, and then core out the middle, you know, take a little bit of it out, and I can put tuna on top of that, and I'm eating that. So now it's my vegetable, because I made the tuna usually with some Italian dressing or some kind, or maybe sometimes I don't use dressing at all. I mash up avocado, I mix it as the base with the tuna, and I put that on top of a cucumber. There's your protein, your fat, and your vegetable. So there's so many things that you can do. You can use peppers, cut a pepper in half and use the pepper itself, because this is the convenient stuff. Everyone says it's not convenient, it's not quick enough, I got to be at work, I got to be at my desk. These are things that I'm eating while I'm charting. I've cut open a pepper, I've stuffed the pepper with something like, I don't know, it could be tuna, it could be scrambled eggs, it could be avocado, it could be, there's a lot of other things in my mind, and I think of all of them, but I can stuff things in there, and I'll eat the half pepper that's stuffed, and that's my meal. And that's also portion controlled. We're overeating.
That was the other question I wanted to ask, about portioning, because I see, and I'm just being honest with you, and this is a very touchy subject, so I got to wash myself here. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But I see women, they go to the boot camps, they go to the gym early in the morning, and then they'll have, but it's like early Saturday morning, and then they don't go the rest of the week. It's just like every Saturday, or they'll go twice a week. And then on Sunday, they go to the brunch, to the buffet, and eat whatever they want, right? So the question is the portioning. Do you have any recommendations for meal prep? Is that something, because you're on the go all the time, right? I don't know where you're finding the time to do all the things you're talking about here. So do you meal prep, or is it just something that you've just learned how to do on the fly?
No, it's meal prepping. So I said that my book's table of contents spells out the word discipline. So
right.
The D is detoxification. The first I is you're impounding impostors, meaning you're taking you're taking processed foods from your diet. S is setting yourself for success. So understanding, like getting a meal plan, you know, and the C is consistency. I talk about meal prepping. How do you stay consistent? You stay consistent by meal prepping. So meal prepping for me is on a weekend. So, today, my typical Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to grab a bunch of vegetables. I'm going to grab a couple of proteins. I like some salmon. I'll get some shrimp. I make like a whole thing of shrimp. I'll do a whole bag. So here's the deal. I don't make things as I go along.
Okay.
I make the whole bag and then I portion it out.
There you go.
So when I come home or at lunchtime, I've already made a bunch of shrimp. I just put them in snack bags. Now, I'm very big on prepping. I might not be the most environmentally friendly person because I put a lot of stuff in like snack bags and, you know, little containers, but I'll get a salad and I have shrimp already in my snack bag and I know what my I weigh it. I just do. When it comes to your proteins, it's 4 to 6 ounces for a meal, 2 to 3 meals in a day. 4 to 6 ounces. I weigh everything. I have a scale that just stays on my kitchen counter. I weigh my vegetables, or I measure it. Usually for vegetables, it's 1 to 2 cups. And then when it comes to the protein, it's 4 to 6 ounces. So I'll weigh it and then I'll put it away so that when I need something, I'm just grabbing it. I'm not trying to figure it out. And I'm not doing it while I'm hungry, because if I do it while I'm hungry, I'm going to overeat.
Okay.
Because I'm human just like everyone else. So if I don't do it ahead of time, then if it just looks good, if I'm only eating it based on how it looks, then it's going to be more than 4 to 6 ounces.
Right.
But what I do know about the brain and how hormones work and how enzymes work is that you'll eat food and it takes 15 to 20 minutes before your brain gets the message that it's full or satisfied. Hmm. It's usually in that 15 to 20 minutes that most people overeat. So when you go to brunch,
wow,
the problem is you're sitting there and you're overeating. And when you get to the point where you actually feel it in your brain, that's the moment you feel so stuffed that you now need to unbutton your pants.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It takes 15 to 20 minutes. So here's the deal. So as a parent, I used to say this to my patients all the time when I was dealing with childhood obesity. I would tell parents here, and I did it to my own kids. And you know, none of my kids are dealing, have ever dealt with weight issues, but it's the stuff that I implemented as a parent that I knew. So I would tell my kids dinner, and then dinner was over, and they would almost always want, so, you know, first of all, as a parent, as a mom, I feel good because they really like my food so much that they want more of it, but I wouldn't give them more. And I wasn't cool about it, but if they wanted some more mac and cheese or some more, you know, I don't know, baked salmon, whatever they wanted more of, I would say, well, give it a minute. Why don't you do this? Go run your bath water, go get your clothes ready for school. Go grab your homework so we can go over it. I would give them a task to go do. They did not know that what I was doing was giving them that 15 minutes to let them feel the food, the effect of the food. By the time they would come back or get they're ready for their bath, and I would wait for them to ask for the food again. So if they asked me for more after that 15 minutes, I would say, okay, but I would only give them more of the vegetables. That was the other thing. If we had, with whatever we had, you could only get more. And they already knew that was the rule. You wanted seconds of something, the only seconds you could get was vegetables. So either you really, really wanted seconds, or you just were like, never mind, I'll get some tomorrow.
Right.
But they would come back. I mean, I'd wait 15 minutes. 9 out of 10 times they forgot they asked for more of the whatever the thing they wanted.
That's crazy.
And it was because I allowed them to feel it. Well, as an adult, you have to give yourself that timeout, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So although I could do that to kids, for myself, that's what I did. Now, what that means to me is Thanksgiving and different meals that they don't count. But putting food in front of you and serving it from the table is never a good idea. It's always best to have the food in the kitchen, leave it where it is, plate your food, and then sit down and eat. Because it's very easy in a social setting to finish what's on your plate, be in the middle of a conversation, and just reach over, grab a spoon, and put more on your plate.
Right.
The energy it takes to stop that conversation, get up, and go get it from the other room, it might deter you. You may not actually need to just go up and get it, but if it's right there in front of you,
you're going to more likely eat it.
It's less of a deterrent. So I'm in the habit of putting as many deterrents as I can possibly put in place. So one other thing that I do is, if I finish cooking something and I'm ready to plate stuff up, I put it away immediately. Put it in whatever needs to be, put it in a refrigerator. Because that means that if you really want some more, you got to take it back out. You got to warm it up. You know what? Never mind. I'll get some tomorrow. That's always another reason. And like I said, another thing I do if I go out to restaurants, I immediately order food and I ask for a box to go, because what I know is they're going to serve me more than I'm typically going to eat. And I know what I typically eat because I weigh everything. So I've gotten used to eyeballing things, you know, you got to get into the habit first. But once I'm in the habit, I already realize they're giving me 2 to 3 times more than I'm going to eat. So as soon as they bring me my meal, I ask for a box. I put the stuff in the box that I'm not going to eat. I eat what's on my plate, and then I can sit there and socialize and talk to everybody, and they can keep doing what they're doing, and they can overeat, and they can, that's fine. But my box is already ready to go. Right. Now, when I get home a few hours later, I may go ahead and eat some of what's in the box. But half the time, what's the problem is we've eaten enough for 2 or 3 meals in one setting.
Okay.
And we can't overeat because it's like your gas tank only takes whatever.
Right.
20 gallons, 15 gallons. There is no overfilling a gas tank. It just doesn't happen. It spills out. There's nothing you can. But the problem with humans is we can't overeat. And what happens if our bodies overeat, all we have, the only process we have for managing the excess is we store excess calories as fat, period. End of story. That's all we have. So you eat a certain amount. That's what your body needs. Whatever you eat above what your body needs automatically gets flagged for storage, period. Wow. And the problem is we're constantly storing more calories than we're using. And then we don't use the calories because we're not, you can't exercise enough. I say this all the time. You cannot out-exercise a bad diet. You cannot exercise enough to get, because you have to eat every day.
Right.
So what you overate the day before, you might try to exercise in the morning, whatever, and then you're going to overeat again. So if you're constantly overeating, you're behind the eight ball. And that's why exercise can be so frustrating for any and everybody, but especially for women, because they don't see the results that they think that they should see because they're not managing the nutrition along with that exercise.
Wow. Well, listen, time has flown by. And the nuggets that you have dropped are, they're priceless. I appreciate you. Just let our listeners know where they can find you, what you've put out that they can read, and how they can get it, because it's incredibly important stuff. We want not just our black women, we want black men to be around forever as well. So if you can help us out and let us know where we can find you, where we can hear you or see you, that'd be appreciative.
Not a problem. And I want to reiterate that to our black men. We definitely need you all. We need you around. We need you to model this behavior along with us, because it's extremely important that our kids are growing up with both parents. So that's a really important topic for me. My website is Dr. Yolanda MD, and MD is medical doctor. Just understanding that everybody out here that calls themselves doctors are not MDs.
Right.
So that is my website. I'm on Facebook as it's Yolanda Lewis Ragland, but I'm on Instagram as Dr. Yolanda MD. The books are on Amazon. But you can connect with me through Instagram, through, you know, Facebook, Twitter, any of those spaces. And if you're interested in a book, you can get it. And then the blog, again, is body.pro.com. And there's information on there about food, about exercise. I do retreats for women, you know, these burnout, professional burnout. They really address exactly what we're talking about, which is how to manage the stress as well as the exercise and the nutrition. So, again, thank you for having me. I appreciate the questions. And again, just as much as people can do, manage your stress. If that's walking, if that's meditating, if that is yoga, whatever that looks like for you, breathing throughout the day, you really have to manage your stress, because the exercise and the nutrition sometimes won't matter if you're not adding that stress management layer to it.
Well, we've got it all, and I have absorbed it. I will process it. I will talk about it more often. And thank you so much for helping me get out of this sticky situation, because it's touchy. It's a very touchy subject. And I really appreciate you being clinical with me today and coming on and taking the time to talk to me. And we will be talking to you again. You are now an official member of 1500 Radio, and we'll be reaching out to you again. So thank you so much, Yolanda. I appreciate you.
All right. No problem. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Well, you hear the music, and that can only mean one thing. That means that it is time to give the Petty a call and get his picks for the NFL and how the playoff picture is shaping up. Let's give the Petty a call and see what he's got to say.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Brother B.
What's going on, Petty? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great. I'm going to run this down for you real quick because, first of all, I'd like to apologize to you and your listeners for not giving you a slate for what happened yesterday. We saw what happened, so we don't even have to get into them. We will talk about what happened Thursday night, though.
Yes, we will.
Because, as I predicted, whoever the winner of that game would be, whoever the winner of the game was, they were going to win the NFC West, and of course, we know who came out on top. So we don't have to go any further into that. But this is what I'm going to do for you today, Brother B. I'm going to give you a 2-for-1, mainly because a lot of games will be played next Saturday.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I will not have the opportunity to talk to you before then. Let's go down the slate real quick for today. Let's see. First off, we have Atlanta at New Orleans. And at first, I went back and forth. I had Atlanta, I had New Orleans, I had Atlanta, I had the Saints. I'm going to go with the Saints, mainly because Atlanta's starting a rookie. Next up, we have those Eagles going into the Windy City.
Okay.
Easy pick here. I'm going to take the Eagles to be 13-1.
I got to be honest. I'm going to go against that because Fields is coming back. He's slated to play, and I think that Chicago's going to play the Eagles hard, and I think they're going to win that game.
This could be a trap game. I hope the Eagles aren't looking forward to that Dallas game on Saturday evening. But let me tell you something, 13-1 sounds darn good to me.
It does.
So we'll leave it at that. Now, here's one right here that I had a problem with because of who's playing. I'm talking about those J-E-T-S Jets. They will be hosting those pesky Lions. I'm
That's
telling
your
you,
team, boy.
Boy, oh boy.
Them Lions are your boys.
Man, listen, this is a tough one. This was a tough one for me. I like the Lions. You know I like the Lions. But the Jets, they got to keep winning. They had a chance to knock out Buffalo, and they couldn't get it done. I think they get it done this Sunday against those pesky Lions.
Okay, okay.
Got Pittsburgh going into Carolina. I like the Steelers. Now, here's one where I hope Dallas isn't looking forward to that Philly game next week, because guess what? They're playing Jacksonville in Jacksonville, and Dougie P has faced them before when he was the coach of the Eagles. But you know what? Them boys, they're hungry. I like them. Well, I don't like them, but I like them in this game, so I'm going to take Dallas.
Okay.
Next up, this is an easy one. Kansas City at Houston. Oh, boy. What can you say about Houston? They had a chance of knocking off the Cowboys. They couldn't do it. They're not going to knock off Kansas City. That's the 1 o'clock slate. At 4 o'clock, well, the afternoon games, we have those Redbirds going into Denver. No Kyler Murray. Even though Russell Wilson looks like trash, take Denver.
Ooh.
Now, this is a game that was slated to be on the Sunday night's schedule. But because both of these teams are like so-so, it got bumped to an afternoon game for today. So, got New England going into the Las Vegas to play the Raiders. I wanted to take the Raiders, but you know what? I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Okay.
And then you have those Titans who, I don't know, I had them maybe possibly beating the Chargers, but now I got to rethink that one, and I'm going to go with the Chargers at home over Tennessee. Finally, on the afternoon slate, this is a big one. This is huge. You have those striped Tigers, those Bengals going to see those swashbucklers down in Tampa. And we know how they looked. We know how Tampa has been looking.
Horrible.
And yes. And maybe old man Brady, maybe it's time for him to just give it up.
Yeah, he looks defeated.
Yes, he does. And that team, they're just a shell of their Super Bowl champion selves. So I'm going to take the Bengals over the Buccaneers. And finally, this is the big one. This is the big one for tonight, tonight, tonight. You got those Giants, those G-men, traveling down 95 South. To see those Commanders. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Man, division rivals. playoff implications. They're both 7-5-1, and we know where that one came from when they tied the last time they played. So you know what? Will there be another tie? I think not. I like the Commanders over the G-Men.
Okay. All right.
And finally, we have those Lambs going into Green Bay for Monday. Now, this is a Monday night. This is a stinker. This game is a stinker. I don't even know if I want to watch it. But I'm just going to take Green Bay. Now, here's one for you. We're going to talk about starting for Week 16. And here's the game for Thursday night that I will be attending. I will go up north. And I will go into the Meadowlands to see those J-E-T-S Jets host Dougie P and those Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm excited because I'm going to see that game. I'm going to be there. Look real close on your TV screen because you might see me. Do you know what? The Jacksonville Jaguars have an outside chance of maybe making the playoffs. They're playing well. Man, Dougie P's got a firing on all cylinders.
Okay.
But all the Jets need to win. They need to win to stay relevant and part of the playoff conversation. So while I'm up there in the cold and in the rain, because that's what the weather prediction is for next Thursday night, I'm going to root for those J-E-T-S Jets to win.
Okay.
So
all right,
take the Jets over the Jaguars. I'm going to go real quickly for what's going to be happening on Saturday on Christmas Eve, because we got a lot of games going on. So I'm just going to call the teams out, and y'all go ahead and figure out who they're playing. If you want to know who to pick, take Buffalo over Chicago, Cleveland over New Orleans, Tennessee over Houston, Kansas City over Seattle, Minnesota over those G-men, Cincinnati over New England, Detroit, those pesky Lions, they'll take care of Carolina, no problem. Baltimore, hopefully, will beat those dirty birds from Atlanta.
Okay.
Here's an easy one for me. Take those Golden Gate boys, I'm talking about the 49ers, over the Commanders, and here's the big one. Here it is, right here, Philadelphia and those guys from the Big D.
That is a big game.
I like the Eagles over the Cowgirls. I'm sorry, the Cowboys.
Cowboys are playing strong right now, man. They look good.
They look good. I don't think they're good enough to beat the Eagles next Saturday. And finally, on that Christmas Eve slate, Vegas and Pittsburgh. I like the Raiders, maybe. But I'm going to go with the Steel City guys. Take the Steelers. There you got it, Brother B. There you have it. I know, and I'm going to say this wholeheartedly, I know we don't agree on every pick that I make, and that's fine. I know a lot of people don't agree with it. But there's one thing we can agree on, that your show is fire.
Man,
I love it.
That.
I know the people love it. Keep on doing what you're doing.
I appreciate you, bro. A lot of people have figured this out, and I'm going to put it out there. I know about football and baseball and basketball what I know because of you. See, a lot of people, that Brother B stuff, they figured out that you're my big brother. Figured it out. So I'm going to put it out there. What I know about sports, I know from you. Now,
wow,
you taught me the game.
Let the cat out the bag.
I let it out the bag. But I'm getting tired of people asking me. So I'll give you credit for teaching me the game, but you know I'm a better athlete than you ever were. You know I played the game better than you. So we're just going to leave it right there. No arguments.
Like I say, I don't agree with you on everything. I'm just going to say I agree that your show is fire. And if I had the opportunity to do what you're doing, you'd definitely be doing that a hell of a lot better than what I'm doing, what I would be doing. But
I appreciate it.
Thank you for that compliment. And check your TV screen out on Thursday night because you just might see me. I'm out of here, brother. Peace.
Peace, bro. Peace. All right, yeah. I let the cat out of the bag. That is my older brother, and he does an amazing job. And as much as I love him, if he were not as good as he is, and if he didn't study the game as much as he does, he studies it inside and out. So I have all the confidence in the world to have him on the show. So again, I appreciate the Petty giving us his time. He's been very accurate. Listen to the man who puts some money in your pockets. Well, that's the end of another incredibly fast hour. As I say every Sunday, it's the fastest hour of my life because I love doing what I do, and I love so much that you're here with me, helping me do what I do and listening. So I appreciate your support. What you hear today, I want to hear comments on. I want you to get back to me, give me feedback. I am, again, at On with Brian Pettaway on IG. And I got to tell you, the last couple of weeks, you guys have not disappointed. I've gotten lots of feedback on the shows, and I appreciate it. The listenership is growing, and again, that's nothing but a good thing. Listen, before we go, You know, Christmas is a week away. You know, the holidays, they do a lot of things to people and their psyche. Christmas in particular is very hard on people who are suffering from depression. For whatever reason, Christmas brings out the demons and a lot of people succumb to them. Like on Tuesday, we unfortunately lost an amazingly talented and for all intents and purposes, there's not one thing that I've read negative about Steven Twitch Boss, who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound on Tuesday. He apparently was suffering from depression. He had a smile that lit up the entire screen. His dance moves were second to none. And though I never met the man personally, he had a way of making you feel like he was your friend. And so when you find someone like that and they're smiling all the time and they just seem to have the world in the palm of their hands and everyone loving on them, you have to wonder, what are they struggling through secretly that makes them want to end such a, what we perceive to be, perfect life? Well, there are no perfect lives. Everyone is going through something. So my challenge to you is to check on your friends and your loved ones, your neighbors. Make sure they're okay. Have a conversation. Let them know that they can talk to you, that it is a safe space to talk to you without judgment and mean it. What they tell you in confidence must stay in confidence unless they are telling you that they plan to hurt themselves or someone else. I know firsthand what it feels like to just want the pain to go away, to feel like the only thing that'll get rid of your pain is to end my life. I've been there. I sat in a room and I planned my own suicide. I did that. And then I thought about it. And the only thing that made me reach out and speak to someone professionally was the encouragement and support of my ex-wife. She actually found someone for me. Didn't actually know that I was that low, that I was that close to taking my life, but she knew something wasn't right. Now, there are people in your lives who look at you every day, and there is someone in your life special who will recognize that something is wrong. And if you're that someone in someone else's life that recognizes that something is wrong with that person, do not hold your tongue. Don't do it. Now, as a black man, I will tell you, I felt that strong stigma about seeing a therapist. That old stereotype that if you see a therapist, it makes you weak as a black man. That's not what we do. We shoulder the problems and we muscle our ways through it. I'm going to tell you something. That is ass backwards thinking. And that is what is keeping a lot of young black men from getting the help that we need today. To my brothers out here, our whole existence is based on trauma and tragedy in this country. We need someone to speak to objectively and with confidence. Find that person. Find that person. I don't care if it is your wife, if it is your best friend, or preferably a therapist or your side piece. I don't care who it is, but find someone that you can tell any and everything to and then lay it down on them. If you don't feel like you have somebody in that moment that you're in where you're feeling like you can't go any further, call 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-8255 or simply dial 899. Someone is on the other end of that phone waiting just for you and they will listen. Rest in peace, Steven Twitch Boss. All right, well, it's time for me to get out of here. I appreciate you being here today. Remember, please get at me with your comments at On with Brian Pettaway on IG and do nothing today. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy it. Do nothing. But the best thing about doing nothing, like I say every week, is you can quit whenever you want. So wake up tomorrow morning feeling refreshed, invigorated, and go out with the mentality of conquering the world like I do. And for all of those who I won't see or talk to before next Sunday, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Please be safe. Peace.